for the week in review. I'm Johannes Werner. Have a great start of the weekend.
WSLR LP 96.5 FM in Sarasota. You can find us on the web at wslr.org. The views and opinions expressed on this show by me and my guests do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of WSLR staff, volunteers, or board of directors. Welcome to the Progressive Page Turner. I'm Marianne Barasonic. On this program, we'll talk about books with the people who wrote them.
Nina Burley is a journalist, best-selling author, documentary producer, and a publisher of a Substack on politics called American Freak Show. Today, we'll be talking about her book, Virus: Vaccinations, the CDC, and the Hijacking of America's Response to the Pandemic. Nina, thanks for talking with me.
Happy to do it. Honored to be here.
In February, there was an NBC poll that found 40% of registered voters said Trump's presidency was better than expected. And in light of that, I thought it would be important to remind people of how he handled the pandemic. Let's start with the rapid test developed by the World Health Organization and available in February 2020. Why did the Trump regime decline to use it? And what effect did this have on spreading COVID?
The first thing is that the Trump administration in January, February, March, and really throughout the year of 2020, were very uninterested in dealing with the pandemic because they had other things on their mind. He was trying to get reelected and he had this good economy buzzing along because of his tax cuts and so on, rich people getting richer and everybody was happy. And then wham, this virus lands. So they weren't interested in discussing it. They didn't want it to seem like it was any worse than the flu. As you remember, that was often said. The CDC and the U.S. Health Agency had been deemed to be the most prepared for a pandemic in the world in the year before. And what happened was the Trump administration, as Republicans tended to do when they have the White House, they stacked the HHS, Health and Human Services, which includes the CDC, they stack it with pro-life ideologues and people who want to use the healthcare system to fight against transgender people or gay people and install their own ideas about how what people should be doing with their bodies. And so they had put at the top of the CDC a guy who, it wasn't like he didn't have a medical degree. I think his name was Redfield, Robert Redfield. I have to look that up. He was a, like a lot of people who had gotten into sort of the pandemic epidemiology world. He came into it during AIDS. And the reason that these people like him, these evangelical Christians, were attracted to that was that they really didn't like gay sex. And they wanted to use this to eradicate and correct, let's say. You know, they were trying to cure it, but they also had this interest. So they had Redfield in charge, an evangelical Christian. And then the person that he ultimately put in charge of the COVID response team was Deborah Birx, another evangelical Christian. When COVID arrived, their eyeballs were not on the pandemic or even American health. They had remade their website so that the first thing you saw when you got to it was a button that you could press that would take you to a form that would help you complain to the federal government about how your religious liberty was being curtailed by being forced to, let's say, sell contraceptives or cover contraceptive if you were an insurance company or be a nurse in a hospital that provided reproductive health care that included abortions. So that's what their eyeballs were on when this horrible thing arrives on our shores. They don't want to pay attention to it for political reasons. They want to downplay it. And the Trump administration, through attrition, had lost a lot of scientific people. They were replacing them with political hacks. In the U.S., there's this great community of expert epidemiologists and people who had a system to deal with possible pandemics that they had practiced. And those people were outside the government. They were in places like Johns Hopkins and big institutions. And they recognized early, this is going to be bad. It was red flag time. And they were all on these chat meetings and emailing each other and trying to deal with this. And they were trying to get to the appropriate people in the administration who could install some of these protocols. And they couldn't get to them. They could not. There was no one at the other end of the line.
But part of it, wasn't it that Trump liked to see low numbers and he was afraid that if there was a test, that the numbers would look bad for him. So that early on, I mean, February of 2020, if there had been a test and they could have done quarantining and contact tracing, this might have been a very different outcome.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of what was going on. They politically wanted to ignore the problem. And so they weren't going to do anything to advance the science to help move it forward. Now, there were problems at the CDC with creating a test. The reason that they turned down that WHO test is partly the Trump administration's fault, because as you said, he wants his numbers low. But there were also things going on at the CDC where they were trying to make their own test and they failed. They made a mistake. That was the problem. And then the other thing that happened early on was that the Trump administration's, the CDC said masks are not needed. I think you'll remember that. The science was not clear on how this disease was transmitted. We all went into isolation in March. Everybody was like washing their groceries in soap, and everybody was running out of hand sanitizer because you thought that you could pick it up from a surface. And it was only later, like after this first edict about the masks, which was, it's okay, you don't need them, to them understanding the science being very clear now that this is a airborne and you need to have the masks make a difference. So then what happened was the Trump administration was like, we don't need masks. The scientists don't know what they're talking about. Because, of course, wearing masks was going to make people more paranoid about it, and everybody was going to be more worried. And even though people now had gone into lockdown, they were struggling to try to downplay the severity and the things that people needed to do to protect themselves. And so it was a sort of a perfect storm of a lot of things going on. Science is based on questions and uncertainty. Until those questions are answered, and they didn't have the answer in the beginning. They only had the answer after a little while. And so that enabled people like Trump and like the chaos agents who love him and who were active in these states to say, well, they don't know what they're talking about. Scientists are just deep state plants that are trying to crush the great Trump economy. Right? Remember that?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So you saw the red governors jump on it, like your guy in Florida and in other places around the country. The cures for it, the fake cures, started to proliferate, and Trump glommed onto those, publicly supporting things like hydroxychloroquine. And then you had people eating their fishbowl cleaner and dying because it had hydroxychloroquine in it, right, on his advice. Thing they did right, they did put a lot of money towards rapidly creating a vaccine. And that's another part of this interesting story, because Big Pharma, they gave them hundreds of millions of dollars, and they already had the mRNA concept on the drawing board. They were using it for extremely expensive cancer treatments. And they were like, we got to make this happen. So they did clinical trials. They moved everything onto a new schedule. And they managed to come up with a vaccine by the end of the year. And then they were handing it out. But of course, it was too late to save Trump they didn't have it finished before the election that he lost. Then there was more propaganda about that, because at that time, you know, then people were like, well, that it doesn't work. I'm not taking it, because there's a whole world of conspiracy theories about what this disease was that wasn't being corrected, because you had a president and a regime that didn't stick with the science, that opposed the science because it wasn't to their benefit, because he wanted to keep the numbers low.
Let's go back to early on in the pandemic and how things were handled, because there was a shortage of life-saving equipment as the hospitals were being overwhelmed. And how did the Trump administration handle that shortage?
Well, again, they mishandled it dramatically. And the entire supply system, the supplying of the hospitals that they needed to do rapidly, was farmed out to private enterprise. So he put Jared Kushner in charge of it. And Jared Kushner brought a bunch of MBA kids in to the White House and had them calling friendly donors who had companies and asking them if they wanted to participate in this production and delivery of equipment to hospitals around the country. And remember when they needed ventilators, right? All the states were fighting for ventilators. And Trump actually said, price is an issue and they should compete with each other. Basically, it was a market-driven response to a massive healthcare crisis that required a massive government intervention. And they decided to use a hardcore MBA market-driven principles to deal with it, because they didn't want the government to be involved. They wanted people to make money off it, and people were making money off it. Of course, we know that.
And at one point, Trump pulled funding for the World Health Organization.
Yep. Yeah. That was no, we don't cooperate. We're not part of the rest of the world. We don't cooperate. We're not sharing anything. We're not going to pay him any money. I mean, that's just classic Trumpism, isolationist, right? And of course, they're meddling, and there are conspiracy theories about the WHO, right? That go along with the UN and everything else. So they're meddling with, you know, American ways. That's just pure Trumpism. And that's actually what you'll see if he comes back. That's the plan. Isolationism, every man for himself, every man, woman, and child for himself, Dickensian. And that's what it was. And when you say 40% of Americans think Trump did better than expected in his administration, honestly, I think it's partly because the expectations were so low. I mean, at least that's how I would look at it. The expectations were so low, and with the certainty that this bull in a china shop bully was going to mess everything up, and that maybe he would get us in a war or something. I think that was, in the beginning, the low expectations, and he managed to not make a disaster of everything.
You don't think his handling of the pandemic was disastrous?
Oh, yes, the pandemic was disastrous. I'm talking about up to that point, because the pandemic is in his last year. Yes, the pandemic was an absolute disaster, and people are rewriting that. I don't know why. I don't know how you can get 40% of the people saying that. They were not paying attention the way the messaging worked. Fox News made it look like it wasn't his fault. I don't know. There's that percentage of Americans that watch Fox News. Maybe it's 40%, I don't know. And their brains they're oblivious to actually what's going on.
I think there's a certain amount of things are disappearing down the memory hole. When I read your book and you were going over some of these things, I was going, oh yeah, that's right, that did happen. But no one seems to be reminding us of how badly that was handled.
Yeah, it's a really good point. And the Biden administration doesn't do that. The messaging on the Democrat side isn't doing that. And I think part of it is, wow, what a downer. People don't want to think about the pandemic. It's kind of a phenomenon that goes with pandemics. In the 1919 flu pandemic also disappeared into the memory hole. I've written about this. It's a phenomenon. When humans are so helpless in face of something like that, it's, I guess, a natural human instinct to not want to talk about it or think about it afterwards, except for the experts. So I guess a lot of people have just shut down their memory of it. And then the Democrats are not reminding people. I mean, again, the Democrats do not have the messaging system that is Fox quote news unquote. They don't have a network, a cable network that's feeding into the people's brains absolute lies every night. And they are lies. I wrote about Fox for the New Republic a couple months ago, a huge story, and I watched it during the fall. And they just spew lies, and they never correct. They never correct. They just lie about the Biden administration, what they're doing. And they're feeding people what people want to hear. And they are directing their knowledge, and people don't look beyond.
If you made a vote-by-mail ballot request, also known as an absentee ballot, prior to the November 8, 2022 general election, it has expired. Vote-by-mail ballot requests are only valid for all elections through the end of the calendar year of the next regularly scheduled general election, so voters need to renew their request with the Supervisor of Elections. All requests for a vote-by-mail ballot to be mailed to a voter must be received no later than 5 p.m. on the 12th day before the election. Requesting a vote-by-mail ballot only takes a few moments and can be done online using the Mail Ballot Request Service at sarasotavotes.gov or votemanatee.com. Vote-by-mail ballots can also be requested in person at any elections office, calling by phone at 941-861-8618, or faxing, mailing, or emailing a request form to the Supervisor of Elections office. More information can be found at sarasotavotes.gov or votemanatee.com. You're listening to The Progressive Page Turner. I'm Marianne Barisonic. My guest today is Nina Burley. We're talking about her book, Virus Vaccinations, the CDC, and the Hijacking of America's Response to the Pandemic.
Unfortunately, what we're dealing with is like undereducated population, no critical thinking skills, being manipulated by a media system, Fox News, that even if you're not watching it, it's seeping into the culture. So people are, you know, if they're not tuned in to MSNBC or listening to your radio broadcast, but they maybe are persuadable one side or the other, they're not paying attention. They're not as knowledgeable about what's going on. And so they're susceptible to these memes that the right wing is so effective at spreading. Okay, it was the deep state. They lied about the role of, you know, this was a man-made virus. There's nothing he could have done about it. There's a whole bunch of ways that they can get around this. Oh, he was trying to do his best, but it was an international thing. I can see how they play it that way. And everybody forgets about the details, even though there were all kinds of profiteers enabled by this man and his cronies. It was crony capitalism thrown at a public health emergency, and people got rich off it cynically. And that is the way that they handled it. And Biden came in January of 21. Remember that the whole thing ended with an insurrection. So there was shock upon shock, right? You're coming out of a pandemic. You're not actually out of it yet, even. People couldn't even be together. And they have this, let's try to hang Mike Pence and shut down the government, shut down the election, and people are just, you know, they're just like weary and in shock. So Biden comes in and it's his job. And I think he was really the man for the moment. I think that he came in and it was such a difference in tone and in care for people. We watched him when he was selected. It was like, oh my God, there's like a human now running the country. His family seemed more human. And he immediately had to deal with this gargantuan mess and disaster. And he did. They passed more funding. And out of that hole, he has built this incredible infrastructure program And has put all sorts of people to work across the country. And it's green and it's working and people are working. People have jobs. Every month there's better economic news. Every month. And now even the gas prices are down, which he was being blamed for the gas prices being up right before the midterms, which are absolutely not his fault. The presidents have no control over that. But nobody's talking about that now. Fox will be trying to find something else that's going wrong and blaming it on. And so people are not, they're listening to that and they're living their lives. And you know what? Maybe their lives aren't perfect. So all of this negative messaging about Biden is seeping in. And the Democrats don't seem to have a successful message machine. It's partly because they're very disparate. They're not in lockstep. They don't operate like autocracies. They're many different groups. They don't speak as one. This is the problem. And they're coming into an election year and honestly think he's going to lose fair and square. I'm afraid that he's going to cheat. That's my concern, that they'll cheat their way. Trump, that they'll, you know, he'll lose fair and square, but then they're going to try to steal and cheat in these little precincts and counties where they've had 4 years to set MAGA people up in election commissions, like in Pennsylvania, right across the river from where I am right now. There's a county over there where they were having, and this doesn't even make the national news, but they can, if they have pinpointed where they need to steal votes and there aren't eyes on them, it's a big problem.
Getting back to COVID, one of the lasting effects from COVID is the widening gap between the ultra rich and everyone else. Can you talk a little bit about how people made lots of money off of COVID?
Nobody went shopping. So Bezos is now making $7 million a minute or something, an unbelievable amounts of money. Anybody positioned to make money off of the end of brick and mortar stores has gotten rich, and Wall Street's done pretty well. So you're making money off of that. If you had money to invest, you've made money. The gap widened. It's been widening all along. There's nothing about the pandemic that was going to make it go in the other direction. But the poor died. Poor and rich got sick, but more poor and brown people died, at least in the beginning. Now, the whole reaction to the vaccine and the conspiracy theories that were fomented around that ended up backfiring on the red states, because in those places people were eschewing the vaccine because didn't need it. They were just going to take deworming medicine or whatever Trump and MAGA was saying was worth it, was good for you. They had a death wave. In the second wave of the pandemic, the deaths were higher in the red states among white people. Nothing was done right on the Trump side in terms of the pandemic. That's the bottom line. Nothing. Other than the creation of the vaccine, which the government put money up for. And there were political reasons why. And now, yes, there is a growing wealth gap. I'm sure that it's got something to do with the pandemic, because people got rich off of major billions of dollars worth of scams on the unemployment system. The Small Business Administration administered through SBA. And it was huge amounts of money. Anybody could apply. People like Marjorie Taylor Greene, everybody got some money if they knew how to fill out the form. And that program was overseen by a small, politically connected company, of donor company to Trump in suburban Washington. Can't remember the name of it. They brought them in, and they were so unable to sort of oversee due diligence on these loans that hundreds of billions of dollars were lost. And those people have certainly gotten rich. They lost money. They weren't able to keep track of it. Sharps got loans. There is an ongoing investigation where the inspectors general, the U.S. government, have been trying to track it down. And they're bringing people in or charging them, but they're not anywhere near getting that money back, and they never will.
While you were researching this book, I know one of the things you looked at was, what are the chances of this happening again?
The chances of this happening again, they're excellent. I mean, it is going to happen again. It's just a matter of when, because the degrading of the environment that the plethora of humanity is doing is making it more likely that these zoonotic viruses will jump from animal to human. You see it happening here right now, like factory farming in the U.S. Cows are getting viruses that humans are getting. Avian flu is all over the place with the birds. It's stopgap. It has to do with climate change and with degradation and factory farming, and it's going to happen again. Did we learn anything from this one? Well, maybe we learned, I think, that we are vulnerable, but that very vulnerability have made us more distrustful of the government, more distrustful of each other. It provoked all kinds of schisms between people. We are the safest generation medically in human history. The reason for that is vaccines and modern medicine, yes, but also vaccines. Our lifespans are one of the amazing things I learned when I was doing this book. It's like in the 1920s, American lifespans average was like under 50. Average. Yes, people lived to be in their 70s and 80s, like the founding fathers did. They lived a long time. But the reason the average age was so low is that people's children died all the time of childhood diseases that we can't even pronounce now, like diphtheria. We don't know what that even is because we don't get it anymore. And the reason we don't get it is that science created all of these vaccines that have made it possible for human babies to survive to adulthood. Having people like RFK Jr. walking around talking about how these things are bad for people is so damaging and so stupid. It just boggles the mind. And the reason that it works and the reason that the pandemic, for example, is the way that it's changed people is that this kind of argument that science doesn't help you, that they're just trying to manipulate your body, that you can do it naturally, that you can take hydroxychloroquine, it works on people because we assume safety. We assume that our kids are going to get to adulthood. We don't even know what our great grandparents went through with these traumatic, horrible diseases that children either survived or died of. We don't know what that is. So we assume safety. And then when there's something that comes along and reminds us that, oh, well, yeah, actually the human condition, you're not guaranteed to live through everything. People just don't react well to that. And so that's the situation we're in, where it destabilized a lot of people mentally, I think. And therefore you get people like, well, RFK Jr., I don't know what's going on with him mentally, but you get a lot of people, I see them on Twitter, where they're just, they will believe any conspiracy theory about the government. And any conspiracy theory about the globalists and any conspiracy theory about science. And it's incredible because we live in the safest era in human history. Despite what you're seeing on TikTok, even with counting in all the wars that are going on, we're still living in a less violent time and a much healthier time than any humans in human history have.
The problem is that there were bad actors in science experiments, like where they gave syphilis to the prisoners or didn't treat them and allowed them to die.
Yes, yes. I can't remember what they call that now. That begins with a T. Sorry. That's not the only reason why there's this eruption of distrust. It's one community that remember that. Black people. But there's a whole raft of white middle-class people who are now susceptible to this kind of distrust.
One of the problems that people had with the mRNA is they were believing that it changed people's DNA.
Exactly. Another thing that I learned while writing this book is that one of the benefits, we live in a time of many, many benefits from science. And the scientific advances that have happened in my lifetime alone and in the last 20 years in terms of genetics are incredible. But they are not explainable. Genetic science is a different language. It literally is a different language from what we speak. These advances have happened, but there has not been communication about what they are. So people don't understand that the mRNA has nothing to do with DNA, and it's not changing your DNA. It just sounds scary to them. And so we're living on the cusp of these great changes in medicine, and we don't know how to talk about them in a vernacular way. So people are distrustful in that kind of fear when it's not dealt with properly by proper communications. And science journalism is one aspect of communication that's not up to the job. Blame the science journalists, but we haven't put enough money into that. government has neither. So people don't understand a lot of things, and that makes them more susceptible to lies.
You've been listening to The Progressive Page Turner. I'm Marianne Barisonic. My guest today has been Nina Burley, and we've been talking about her book, Virus, Vaccinations, the CDC, and